everyone, and welcome to Minute 47 of Season 4 of Movie Rock Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Hello, and thank you for having me back on.
You don't think I could? You don't think that I could tell the difference?
Well, I'm a pretty good actress.
Yeah. We'll find
not
out.
Not Meg Ryan. We'll find out. Yeah.
We'll find out. So once again, like yesterday, I just want to have a quick disclaimer here for anyone listening. Some of the topics of discussion on today's episode, just like yesterday's episode, and just like probably tomorrow's episode, are of an adult nature. So I don't know yet where things will actually go with the way that we talk about everything that happens, but the scenes on screen are definitely very adult. So anyone who is slightly offended by these type of things, first of all, I guess I can sort of apologize for it, but you know, this is what we're doing here. We're talking about the movie and we're going to detail about everything that's going on. It's a deep dive. So I don't know if I really need to apologize, but if you're offended by it, you can just skip this episode, skip tomorrow's episode too, and, you know, come back on Thursday's episode or towards the end of tomorrow's episode, you know, when things will, come back to earth, you know, after everything has completely finished what we're talking about here. So slight disclaimer, do with it whatever you want. if you want to abide by it or not, that's fine. I mean, Heather and I are here to talk about these things. So, you know, we're talking, it's a very adult discussion and we're going to be acting like adults here. So that's fine.
Speak for yourself.
Well, come on.
Yeah.
You know, we have to try. We have to try.
We'll stay within the realm of the movie.
Of course.
So,
well, more or less. Yeah, you don't know what type of data I've brought. But okay, we'll get there.
I'm waiting for it. I'm going to see if it conflicts with mine and also mine as actually a living, breathing woman.
There you go. Okay. Minute 47 begins with Sally trying to prove her thesis and ends with Sally continuing to be in the throes of passion. Yesterday, Sally was she was telling Harry how she doesn't like the way that he acts when he goes out on these dates. And Harry responded by basically saying, well, you know, no one's complaining. Everyone's having a great time. And Sally brings up the fact that it's possible that many of these women are pretending to be having a great time. You know, they are possibly faking orgasms. And Harry just doesn't want to believe it. He doesn't believe that that's possible. He says that he will be able to tell the difference between them.
Yeah.
Rob Reiner, what do you expect?
We kind of went into it a little bit where now people are a little bit more educated about the topic. It's a much more discussed thing. Mm-hmm. Where at the time, it really wasn't. This was correct. The elusive female orgasm,
right?
That really, you know, there was no internet to go look up data and find out this or that or chat rooms. It was just people being people and talking about it behind closed doors. Also,
correct.
Sex wasn't something that was openly discussed as, I think, easily as it is now. Which
correct.
I
correct.
Think it's also,
and except for in
of
Cats,
movies like this.
Except in Katz's Deli, you know.
Yes.
So, I don't know. So Sally began with yesterday by saying it's just that all men are short, never happened to them, and that most women at one time or another have done it. So you do the math. Which, I mean, I don't know if what she's basically saying is that there's no way that you satisfied all of these women. You know, she's not throwing out the fact that it's possible that he has, you know, satisfied some of them. You know, he's not.
No, yeah.
She's not saying that every one of these women is faking it. But, you know, she's implying that there's no way that everyone is as happy about it, things as
yeah.
Harry seems to believe.
It's especially, and two, and I think pretty much anyone who's had sex can pretty much attest. And it's not that it doesn't ever happen, but it's a one-night stand too, and you don't know each other. You don't know what each other likes. You don't know all of the other things about each other. It can be fun. It can be exciting. Sure, there could be happy endings on both sides. It could be great on different levels. But it's more complicated than that, and it's very specific from person to person too. So even in
close relationships, it takes a while to get to that point. You know, we're not even talking about one time. You know, sometimes it takes years.
And every single, I hope not.
No,
every single person is different too, and correct. Circumstances. I mean, there are so many factors that come into play into these things. So yeah, for a man to think that he's enough of Adonis that he has one night stands constantly. I think I brought up a Seinfeld episode.
Yes, on the last which I was actually just going to talk about. That was the episode The Mango. Okay, which was the 65th episode of Seinfeld. It aired on September 16th, 1993. So it was the premiere episode, the premiere episode of season 5, where Elaine actually mentions that she always faked having orgasms with Jerry. And her response was, and Jerry didn't believe it, and her response was, back then I didn't have them. You know, and, you know, the whole episode, Jerry is trying to convince Elaine to sleep with him again so that he can prove that he's able to do it.
And I think they try at the end of the episode, and it's a failure.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it is. There's another show, too, that does it, and I like the flip on it, too. And it's not specifically that, but it's referential to it, and it makes sense. It's Buffy, and it's the final season, season 7. It's one of the last episodes. It might be the second-to-last episode. And the character Faith, who is all about one-night stands and not connecting on an emotional level with guys. But I mean, I look at her and I think, yeah, she's probably a good time. She hooks up with Principal Wood, and he's like, the next day he's like, yeah, she's all patting herself on the back. Like, yeah, I'm awesome. I kicked butt. And he's like, yeah, that was all right. And she's like, that was rock'em sock'em. What are you talking about? He goes, yeah, that was the first time we ever did it. It was fun, but that's not what I call amazing. So even at that point, and I think the early 2000s. So even at that point, and I like that the switch was the female being the one who was confused and thinking men are so simple too, because you guys aren't. You are more simple than us, but he was like, no, there's more to this. So right. I like adding that dialogue into the conversation too.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it goes both ways. Obviously, it's more so in one direction than the other over time, and particularly at this point. But one night stands, you're going to be less likely to achieve the happy ending with a woman, especially on a first date when you don't know each other at all.
Right. That's true. Makes sense. Harry then says, you don't think I can tell the difference? And she goes, no. And he goes, get out of here. And he continues to eat his sandwich. You know, he just doesn't believe that that's even possible. And then we see that Sally looks at him in a very strange way. And then we see like a change on her face. You can sort of see the light bulb, you know, go off over her head as she basically says, all right, I'm going to actually prove it to him. She starts to make some sounds. She starts moaning. She goes, oh. And I love the fact that his first reaction is he looks at her as he's eating and like takes the sandwich out of his mouth and goes, are you okay?
Yeah, like she's getting like, sick.
and the sounds that she's making are not sounds as if she's complaining about something.
No, they are not. They are not at all. And her face is not suggesting that either.
Especially since he claims that he's an expert on this, you know. Yes. So that's even, you know, he should be able to obviously, as you stated, it's very true. Every woman is very different. They're going to respond differently. Every man is different. They're going to respond differently. But you can get an idea as to what's going on here. Yeah.
Yes.
And apparently, you know, Harry is somewhat clueless about the fact, you know, that even though we now know that Sally is starting to fake it, you know, he doesn't pick up on it right away. It takes him a little while to figure out what it is that she's doing. And then she continues to make all these sounds and says, "Oh, oh God, oh God, oh." And then she goes, "Ah, oh, oh God, oh yeah, right there." And then she starts like making gasping sounds throughout the whole thing. And at
And
this
touching her
point,
hair too,
yeah,
and
she's
then,
like, she's
I mean, she's
tousling
moving
her
her
hair.
body a little bit too. Yeah,
Yes.
yeah.
And at this point, Harry puts down his sandwich and just decides to watch the show. He's figured it out. But he doesn't even try and stop her. He doesn't say, "Okay, you made your point." He's like, "All right, you know what? Go for it.
Commit.
If this is what you want
Yeah.
to do." You know, and as she's continuing with all of her sounds and gestures, she once again touches her hair, she touches her face, she like runs her hand from her face down onto her neck. And then we start seeing that people are beginning to stare at her. She's making a little bit more noise than one would think. People are turning around. And as that's happening, we see that Harry is starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yes, he looks around a few times, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm I,
Yep.
he and he can't even say like I'm not with her. That type of
No.
thing. It's like, and then she continues with another oh God. Oh yes, and her voice just gets louder and louder. She starts screaming, yes. And as she's doing this, basically, that's where the minute ends from the perspective of the sounds. Obviously, my rendition is nowhere near as good as what
Oh,
Sally
it
was
was so
doing.
close. So,
I
like, I thought for a minute you
thank
were
you.
Meg Ryan.
Thank you.
Well
Thank
done.
you so much for that, Heather. But you see, I'm aware of the fact that it's not, so I'm good with that also. And she's making a lot of noise, in public, which is,
Yes. Oh, yes.
obviously this is something that can only, very good. This is something that can only happen in a movie. I don't think it would really happen in real life that someone
Okay.
would
I'm going to
feel.
have to disagree with you on that point because that's something
Once again, you faked orgasms in public?
I would do it to make
Oh,
a point. Yes. In that
okay.
capacity, absolutely I would. I perhaps not at this age and where I'm at in my life at this point, but when I was in my early 20s, yeah, I would have had no shame in doing exactly that. No problem whatsoever. I would have been
Okay.
fine with making everybody else uncomfortable. Granted, I cannot say that most women would feel comfortable doing such a thing.
Right. Okay. That's fair.
And I could also see if there was a male counterpart there that I was trying to make the point to, getting up and leaving in the middle of it also.
Right. That's a possibility too. Very
So
true.
highly improbable situation, but
Yes. Well, and you're no longer in your mid-20s, you're in your late 20s, so it's not gonna happen. So, that's fine.
yeah, I have
It
nothing to prove to
Exactly.
anybody.
That's very true. And there's like a guy sitting behind Sally with a Yankees cap that turns around and starts looking at her, and she really starts screaming the yeses. She then tosses her head back as she's doing it also. Then we get a shot of Harry, who just basically looks really amused by what's going on here. He's semi-amused. He's embarrassed, but semi-amused at the same time. But she just continues to give her performance,
Oh, she's
not
committed.
having a care in the world.
Nope, she's committed. And again, it feels, I think part of it that makes it so great is that it is so out of character from what we've established from Sally before. As we were talking about, she's definitely more on the vanilla side. She's a bit rigid. Her sexual fantasies are, well, they're not very interesting.
Not for us, but
No, not for us.
if they do for Sally what she wants them to do, then
But then that's great.
who are we to knock it?
I have no judgment of it, but it is fairly vanilla and fairly rigid, and we know these things about her. So for her to be, again, I'm suggesting that this is something I would have done in my early 20s or so, because I wouldn't have had a care in the world about it. But I was also much more open about that kind of thing than someone like Sally. So we've kind of, gone over the fact that Sally is a little bit rigid. She's a bit vanilla in her sexual landscape for the most part. So, and that's fine. It works for her. That's great. That's no problem whatsoever. There's no judgment attached to that. But that's what makes this behavior and this display such a stretch. It's what kind of, even if it was someone who was a bit more open and you might predict doing it, that might make everybody uncomfortable too. But this is what makes it hilarious, and she does it so well.
Right. I always wonder what Dennis Quaid must have thought of this.
Yeah. Well, he would have known she was faking or not, hopefully.
Hopefully. Well, the question is whether this is, you know, how she would actually really fake it or not.
Yeah. So. And
because I've heard that this was partially her addition to the script to do this.
Really?
You know, I think I recall that on the commentary, Rob Reiner mentions that, you know, the idea came, she's the one who brought up the idea, and then they followed through on it and said, okay, let's do this.
I like it.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know that for a fact. It works if that's the truth. It's nice to hear, you know, we know that Billy Crystal had a lot to add to this movie, you know, from a comedy perspective and stuff like that. And we all know that both Rob Reiner and Nora Ephron are the basis for Harry and Sally. So it's nice to see that she also contributed to things that are going on here.
Yeah, especially too, because this is her breakout role.
Yes.
So for her to...
Yeah, this is really what put her on the map.
Yeah, absolutely. And without this scene, I mean, the movie still sings lovely and perfectly. Yeah. But I mean, this scene... Right. Is the most iconic scene from it and one of the most iconic scenes in cinema because of it. So
correct. That's very true. So I actually just did a quick search and Nora Ephron actually credited Meg Ryan, not only with the idea of faking an orgasm in the restaurant scene, but also with the idea of setting it in a restaurant in the first place.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely fantastic. That's one of the things I do love about it, too. Is there couldn't possibly be anything more sexual than what Meg Ryan is doing in this scene. And she looks hot while she's doing it, too. So
yes, she does a very nice job.
Yes, she does. She's very successful at what she's working at here. So to not take it to too uncomfortable level and not over, I mean, how do you over-sexualize an orgasm? But
exactly.
but to keep it in the bubble of the comedy and the theme of the movie at the same time without taking away from that and making it feel out of place and awkward is doing it in the restaurant with all the people eating there and watching. Right. And that adds to the level of comedy and then obviously to the follow-up line at the end. But
correct. I mean, and nobody even tries to stop them. No one's like, are you okay? Is everything? Everyone's like, okay, I don't have a problem watching this.
What would happen if that scenario went down in real life? If Meg Ryan was sitting there with Billy Crystal, we don't know who they are. They're not famous. They're just Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal sitting there. And she starts having an orgasm. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think anybody's going to say anything?
I think someone's going to come over and say, are you okay? What's going on?
I don't. I think people are going to bring out their phones and record it and put it on their social media.
Yeah, probably. No, I'm talking about initially the initial reaction from people is that something is going on, and then once they figure out what is really going on, then they'll be like, okay, no, now we're going to take out our phones and start doing it.
Yeah. Maybe.
I think that's what it comes down to. I think people will the first reaction of some people will be, oh, wait a second, this is a, you know, something is happening to this woman. I need to help her. You know, she's choking. She's I don't know what. You know. I don't know.
Curiosity at the very least.
Yes, that is true. So let's get into a little bit of stats about female orgasms.
All right.
Real and fake.
All right.
I found a really interesting 13-page article all about this. So, you know, we're only going to talk today about female orgasms because that's what is going on here.
Yes.
You know, there's no need to even bring up male orgasms around this.
Nope, none. That's okay. Not what this is about.
That is correct. So... All right. I'm trying to figure out where to even start here.
I would
there's so much information here.
With taking a guess at what percentage of women have faked. Not every time or anything like that, but how many women in their lives have faked, I would say at least 80% of women.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least one. You hit it. And I'm not saying all the time regularly, but I'm saying just as a grandeur, at least once in their life, I would say the majority of women have.
Okay. Heather, you hit the nail on the button.
What?
Okay. Yes. Okay. According to this article, 80% of women have faked orgasms during intercourse. Okay. They get into details about, you know, that if you're not talking about intercourse and you're talking about foreplay and other things, you know, the statistics are different.
Yeah.
But they're talking about specifically intercourse, 80%. So you hit that right on the button. Wow.
Okay. And
Very good.
that is just based on me guessing from women friends. And I'll be honest too, until
So you're saying one out of five of your friends has never faked it. That's what you're saying.
I would say maybe even less than that, but I'm trying to be generous.
Half a woman?
Yeah, I'm trying to be generous here.
I don't know how you can get into half a woman there.
Only in the last decade have I become so aware that women weren't actually having orgasms, and then coupling that with the pressure to pretend like they were. Or
Right. Okay.
yeah, I and this was something that was new information to me too,
Right. Okay.
which I found very interesting, and I still am baffled by it.
Okay. So again, let's get into a little more statistics here. What percentage? I'll quiz you on it. How do you know? Okay. What percentage of women can only experience orgasms from clitoral stimulation?
What percentage can?
Yes.
I would say, oh gosh, I have to think about performance also. I would say 90%.
70%.
Okay.
Again, according to this article, this is not on based on personal research, stuff like that. Don't worry about that. And what percentage of women have either never had an orgasm or weren't sure if they've ever had one?
Oh, I would say at least 15-20%.
You were really very, very close. 13, 14%. That's what it says. So you're right on the cusp there.
That shocks me to still find out, but there are women my age who have never had an orgasm via intercourse. That's maddening.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. But that just probably has a lot to do with the men that they're with. Or whatever, or communication issues and things like that.
There are varying
Yes.
things involved here. Yeah, lots of things. So it's kind of hard to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's get into some of the more of the stats here. Actually, this is even more interesting. So we established that it's 70% of women that can only experience that can exclusively reach orgasm via clitoral stimulation. What percentage have the ability to experience vaginal orgasms without clitoral stimulation?
Oh, okay. That's got to be lower. 55.
How is that possible if 70% exclusively, so you only have 30% to choose from?
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of it backwards. All right, then 20.
26%.
Huh, okay.
All right, which I guess that means that there's only 4% that are in between those. So I don't know. Some of this I'm not even going to quiz you on because it's very strange to try to quiz you on some of these things. So 25% of the women in this survey say that when they masturbate, it takes them between 2 and 3 minutes to achieve any type of orgasm.
Oh yeah, I absolutely 100% believe that. But I think that's pretty much can go for either side too. You know what you like, you know how to get there, and if you know that the faceless man who rips off your dress gets you your happy ending, then you're gonna get there quicker. And
That's true. That's
sometimes
true.
you've got things to do.
What percentage of these women, the 25% of the women, takes them less than a minute to achieve a second orgasm right afterwards?
Oh, 10.
45.7%.
Yes.
What do you mean? You said 10.
Well, I know
Why are you
that.
so
I was
happy?
guessing. I'm happy that it's lower.
Ah.
Are you kidding
Oh,
me?
okay. I thought you
No,
were happy that you got the number. And I'm like, that's not the same
I'm
number.
happy that I was wrong. I'm guessing based on my experience being a woman and talking to women, but yes, that's good. That's good to hear.
Okay, what percentage of women nearly always have an orgasm when having intercourse?
Nearly always.
Mm-hmm.
22%.
46.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah, okay.
Surprising.
And how many port to always have an orgasm?
Now that would be lower. I would go with 25.
6%. Yes.
Okay.
According to this study, again,
I know.
only 6% of women have always have an
I'm not
orgasm.
basing it on my personal experience either. I'm basing it on my knowledge of
Your
listening
conversation
to
with friends,
women.
I understand.
Yeah. So that's
Okay,
very.
so according to this study, what percentage of women reported to have had an orgasm during the most recent sexual encounter that they had?
The most recent? Oh,
Yes.
well, that's very, very random. I don't know,
It's
30,
random,
yeah,
but
30%, 30%.
64%. Okay,
That's,
and here
yeah.
in this one, they actually have stats on the men. And how many men do you think reported having an orgasm in their most recent sexual encounter?
100.
85%.
I knew it wasn't 100, but I had to
So
say
I feel bad for those 15%,
Yeah. Well, those 15% needs to know that it is more common than it isn't.
Correct.
They need help.
And this is based on what you said earlier, this is something that won't surprise you, that women in a relationship, it usually on average takes them longer to have an orgasm than women who are masturbating and doing it on their own. Women who are in a relationship, the average is 13.19 minutes. And for a woman doing it on her own is 7.16,
Okay,
which is basically half the amount of time.
that checks out.
They say that women experience more frequent orgasms with more attractive partners. I don't really know how that's subjective.
That's
So I don't
totally
really know how that
subjective,
fits in there.
entirely subjective. It's initial. No, I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
All right.
yeah.
So another thing that they mention here is that most women have the capacity to have multiple orgasms, but what percentage actually do?
It has to be low. I don't want it to be low for other women, but I feel like it's low. I'm gonna go with 24.
15, 15%.
Oh, that's not
Yeah.
fair.
Women often find that their second or third orgasms are less intense, but it doesn't mean that it's any less pleasurable.
That's fair. That's
What percentage of women have an average of three orgasms every time?
fair. Well, you're just making me sad because I feel like all these numbers are low. I'm probably gonna go with 15%.
It's much higher than this.
Oh, good.
33.4%.
Okay. Okay, good. I'm happy that I'm
Yeah.
wrong again.
What percentage of women do you think can have 10?
This can't be every time.
I don't know. It says
Yeah,
this
yeah.
percentage of women indicate that their highest number of orgasms is 10.
I'm just gonna stick with 10. I'll say 10%.
12%. So, okay,
Right. All right.
you're close to that.
Yeah.
So now we'll get into different types of stats about why women actually fake orgasms.
This is something I've learned over the years, so I'm curious.
Okay, so the main reason that, according to this article, is that to manage the difference between expectations and reality,
Okay.
which basically means that they are hoping to get it, but
It
it
doesn't
just
happen.
isn't working.
Yeah.
It
It
isn't going to happen.
isn't going to
So,
happen.
it's the difference between expecting it and realizing
Okay.
that, how long am I going to have to lie here and
That
wait for
I
that?
can understand. You can tap out now, buddy. It's the polite way of saying you can tap out. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah,
Right.
that I would say is
Okay.
something I've heard a lot of women say.
Right. Okay. According to this article, 55.4% of women have reported that they wanted to communicate with a partner regarding sex, but decided not to. And that's why in the end they decided to fake it.
Oh, that's
Because they,
sad.
you know. Yeah.
You should be able to
Okay.
be Sally and say what you want.
That's correct. 42.4% said that they didn't want to hurt their partner's
Okay, that one
feelings.
was going to be at the top of my list of why.
Okay, 40.2% said that
Still
they
not
just
healthy.
didn't really want to explain why. They didn't want to explain why they do it.
Okay, what's the point of doing the
I have no idea. And 37.7% said that they were feeling I embarrassed.
Okay, faking
So
an
they just,
orgasm because you're embarrassed.
because they wanted to end it already, they were just
Okay,
embarrassed there.
okay. I don't know. Some of those sound a little weird to me. I've heard all sorts of
Okay.
things. I've heard enough already. I've heard women who've told me that they just wanted to go to bed and they were tired of doing it at bedtime. Why then? Or this other time where they had somewhere to go. They have obligations and things. I've heard women say that so their partner would just
Okay,
make
well, I'm
things
going to
less
stop you
painful.
one second because
Oh,
there's one last
okay.
reason I want to give here. Okay, and they said that many women who fake orgasms do it in order to get their partner to finish quicker because they were experiencing boredom, fatigue, discomfort, or time
Yeah,
limitations. So
yeah,
that fits exactly what you were saying. They
yeah,
had to be
yeah.
somewhere. So, okay, I got to be
Yeah.
somewhere. So let's just make him think that,
If I was going to give you a list, I would have said that one, and I would have said the embarrassed thing, or to
Just to
make
make
you
him
feel
feel
better,
better,
yeah, the
that type
sugar
of thing.
boost, which is not healthy for women. I mean, if it's not happening, it's okay. It doesn't have to happen every time. I understand that with
Right.
situations now. So, how are you going to, get to know each other and get better at doing it too? If you do.
Without
Exactly,
communication,
exactly.
that's the thing. If you, it's the idea, if you lie about something and you continue to lie about it, then, how is someone going to know that that's Isn't there like a famous story that someone lied and said that they liked something, like
Yeah.
food or something like that, and so someone was always buying them that food, and after like 50 years, they said, by the way, I don't like that, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings by telling. I
It's,
don't
I think
remember where
it's a
that story comes
movie
from.
or maybe it's a book. I know what you're, I feel like I know what you're talking about, but it's exactly that, where you're doomed to do the
Yeah,
thing that you don't like to
exactly.
do
And
to another person.
it's the
Yeah.
same situation. Again, if you're talking about a one night stand, like with where we're talking about with Harry, so I can sort of understand why someone would do that. Maybe the woman has to go clean her andirons. It could be also. So.
Yes, that. Okay, and that's the thing too. A lot of these scenarios are very circumstantial. They're very much so
Correct.
depending on the people, very much so depending on the relationship status, if there is a relationship, depending on the inhibitions of the people involved. I mean, there's just so, that's the thing about sex is, and we still have like such a Puritan society as far, and it's so weird to me, surrounding it. And part of the biggest problem with it is that we're not comfortable talking about it, and we can't, and I think that's where the faking the female orgasm comes in to a degree too. But I mean, if you want your guy to get good at what he's doing, then you're gonna have to tell him, I'm sorry, sweetie, this doesn't work for me. Or if you're, it's your
Right.
biology where you're like, you know what, that's just not the way that I'm gonna go. We're gonna have to do it differently. That's okay too. But I know that women
Right.
are embarrassed by that, which
Correct.
I didn't realize before. But I've never been a woman who's had an issue with that. So
Yeah.
a lot of this was very surprising for me over the years, and has become more, especially getting older now. I'm like, okay. I made my own judgments based on women based on this kind of thing. So yeah, it's just one of those things that's very, very
Right.
strange, but at the same time, it makes total sense why men would be completely baffled by the fact that a woman would fake, especially in the 80s.
Exactly. So one of the other things that they talk about in this article is like how women have, decided that there are more women who are either willing to admit that they fake it or that actually fake it, as time has gone by. Okay, so that they did a survey where they checked the differences in the answers from different women, obviously, between from 1976 to 86 to 97, 2000, 2001, and 2014. Okay, and each of these years, the number got higher with the percentage of women
Oh,
who
okay, that's
admitted
good.
to
That's very good.
faking orgasms.
It's good that they're
Yeah.
admitting it. It's
It's
not
good
good that
that
they're
there are more
doing
women
it.
who are faking it. Oh, okay.
I am not an advocate of faking at all. So I
Okay, well, we both just said the reasons why one shouldn't be faking it because you're never going to get there if you're always faking it and
it's bad
the
for
guy
both
you're with
parties.
thinks that
But there's a lot
he's doing everything right.
that, but we, like I said too, we live in a society where there's a lot
Exactly.
of shame attached to it.
Long term.
Yes.
Long term, it's bad.
Yes.
Right. Long term, it's bad for both
Exactly.
parties. Short term, it's only good for the man. That's what it comes down to. Because the woman who's faking it, wants to make the man feel good, so he's going to feel good because he thinks that, he did his job.
Or she really doesn't like him and isn't into it, and she wants to get the hell out of his apartment before he starts cleaning things.
You see, that's one of the things that they don't mention in the survey. Are we talking about people that are in committed relationships or people that are not? There's a big difference there. Someone who's
And I would like to see the stats divided based on that too,
exactly
because it would be, I feel like, very, very different.
correct. Because I'm assuming most of the women that Harry is sleeping with, there's more of a percentage that will be faking it if they just want him to, get out of there and that's it.
Yeah,
Because
yeah.
there's little long-term consequences for them at that point.
And I totally get
It's
you.
like, okay, I'm never going to see this guy again. You did a great job. Thank you. Bye. Never call me again.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Most scenarios, I don't advocate for it, but if there's going to be one that I'm going to go, okay, I kind of get it, it's that scenario.
Correct. Which is probably why Sally is so adamant about the fact that at least some of these women have been faking it for
Yeah.
Harry. Who knows? Maybe he's really that
I'm
good.
sure he
Who
has a
knows?
skill set. I'm sure that he does to some point. And he's very charming and he's very likable. And sure, why not?
But the woman in the Ethiopian restaurant last week didn't find him likable because, she wasn't laughing at his jokes, but she's still willing to sleep with him.
Which that's so weird. And that's another thing
Yes.
too. I think that has a little bit more to do with expectations and that social dynamic too. I think probably then too, women felt more like they had to do that more than now. I don't think women had the same kind of sexual freedom that they feel like they have now also. But I still, I still know women that would probably go sleep with a guy on a first date for their own self-esteem reasons and other issues as well, even though they don't like them. I've seen that happen a million times too. So it's just weird. That's really weird.
It's sad.
Also it's that, sad. Yeah.
Yeah. So in 2014, 75%. You want me to start from the lower number and work my way up or work my way back?
Whichever you prefer.
Which do you think is better?
Go lower. Go lower.
Okay, so we'll go from the highest to lowest, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So in 2014, 75% of the women surveyed had faked an orgasm at least once in their life, and 45% of those women reported that they faked orgasm regularly.
Wow.
Okay, that's a really high number, and that's really sad. In 2001, 65% of the participants faked it at least once during sex, and 20% faked orgasms during 20% of their encounters. Okay, most of them pretended, their pretending was done in a physical way. You know, they would move around, they would contract the muscles, they would bite things, they would tense up or things like that. And then many of them would do it verbally, similar to Sally here. Well, actually, Sally
does a little
does both.
Yeah, she does a little both.
A little both. It, verbally could also just be that they just told their partner, yes, I had one.
Yeah.
which also says something about the guy if he doesn't notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in 2000, there were 2,311 women who answered the questions. And in this point, there were 70% that indicated that they faked an orgasm. So therefore, in 2000, the number was actually higher than it was a year later in 2001. And 75% of these women said that they had faked it less than 50 times. One is also less than 50 times. So, you know, I think 50 is just a very high number to try and do that.
I agree. Right.
And they said they said that some of the answers, you know, made it a little strange because there were people who wrote that their answer was countless or a bazillion. So I don't know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. In 1997, the number was 56% of the women reported faking an orgasm. 58% had pretended. They said that most of these women actually preferred to do it on their own than with a man. Or than with someone else. And they had also had started, they were sexually active at a younger age. And most of them, you know, again, this is the 80s. So most of them had a very large number of partners.
All right.
So 58% of those women decided that they were just going to fake it. But again, I think most of the women that Harry went out with would probably fit into that category, you know, into that study at this point. And in 1976, 57% of women faked orgasm. So, I mean, the number, you know, the number does move between 56 and 75, but that's still, we're talking more than half the population of women are claiming to have at least faked it once.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's bizarre to me. And that's the thing too. And I don't want to pass judgment on the women that do, but stop it. Just stop it. Oh, it's not helping men. It's not helping women. I mean, I guess you can pull out a one every once in a while if you really just want to go swimming or go get your massage or something to people that are in relationships, but mostly people that are in relationships. Don't do that.
Exactly.
Stop it. Don't do that. Stop it. Just stop it. Enough.
It says here that 25% of the women who faked an orgasm said that they were grateful that they could. But only 7% actually said that they felt annoyed that they had to. Meaning that a lot of them, you know, just it didn't bother them that they had to do it.
Yeah, that it was no big deal. Well, I assume it's not. It's a way to get out of things. But I mean, I feel bad that those women look at sex as a job because that's kind of it.
Right.
This is a duty you have to do. You're not enjoying yourself if you don't care about the fact that you had to fake it.
That's correct.
I mean, like I said, there are certain circumstances that are admissible, but for the most part, it's just not, particularly in relationships.
Correct.
Particularly in relationships.
That's right. So they said 31% of the women, after they told their partners actually tried harder after they found out.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that makes sense. And they said 28% of the partners got annoyed about the fact that that's what they were told or got embarrassed. So I guess Seinfeld fits into there.
Yeah, well, and it is. It's a 50-52. If you're going to shatter the man's glass ceiling, it really depends on the man.
Right.
But if you tell a man this, and I mean, if he reacts shamed or embarrassed, okay, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Let them have their moment. That's understandable. But if you can't have that conversation, you probably shouldn't be having sex.
Yes, I would think so.
You shouldn't, if because in a relationship that's intimacy, so that should be a discussion you should have. If it's with someone you're just starting to date and getting to know too, that's also something you need to consider and think about. Why can't we have this conversation? Why do I not feel comfortable enough to bring this up? Why do I feel more comfortable pretending to have an orgasm
Yep.
than just going, "Oh, I'm done now. I'm done now. That was great. I didn't have all of the happies, but it was still good." I mean, I don't know. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
So this article also has a list of clues that you can try and figure out if a woman is faking it. They're potential clues.
Very.
It's not complete, you know, it's
Okay.
not for sure. Basically, women who frequently make conscious vocalizations to influence their partner rather than as a direct expression of arousal. That could be a hint. Again, nothing's
That's
100% here.
directional though. That's a little different. Giving direction is very different than faking. Exaggerating a moan to go, "Hey, just so you know, that was really great."
Right.
That's communication
Correct.
without having to say it and ruin the mood.
Right.
Okay. So, all right.
Right. So what they say here is that women are frequently quiet when they're actually receiving pleasure.
Really?
That's what they claim. They said that most women, when they make erotic noises, it's when things are feeling uncomfortable or when they're starting to get bored. I'm just
Okay.
telling you what it says here.
I know you are. Yay. I'm not shooting the messenger. I'm just dumbfounded. That's not my experience
Okay.
at all.
They say that usually after a woman has a real orgasm, so they are less aware of their surroundings for a few seconds, you know, to
Yeah, that's
so
true.
so if that doesn't happen, that could also be a reason to believe that.
Too, I think that's probably person specific. I also usually want to go eat raw meat and have chocolate.
Okay.
I mean, which might be very strange, and nobody else on the planet does. So
Right.
that doesn't mean that it's something that all women are going to do, or is an indicator of one thing or another.
Right.
I don't know.
And
I mean, I guess.
it also says that you know, obviously there are pelvic muscle contractions afterwards. So if you don't notice them, that could also be a reason that it's not happening. But I think that a woman could try and fake something like that too if she really needed to.
Yeah, all of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really, I think what it really boils down to is how well do you know that person?
Correct.
And that is pretty much it. I've also heard too that men often go to sleep right after, which they do. Women, on the other hand, are often energized and want to go do 8 million things.
Well,
I've heard.
and that's why they have multiple orgasms because they
Yeah,
want to
I've
go to the
heard.
next one.
Yeah, they're like, okay, now I have all this energy, which I'm like, I don't have that experience. I'm ready to go to bed. Thank you very much. But I've heard a lot of women say that too. Oh yeah, afterwards I wanted to go clean the whole house and paint and do this and do that. I'm like, no, I don't want to do anything but eat my chocolate and go to sleep now. Thank you.
Okay, that makes sense. That's fair.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's all
It's all
very specific.
individual. Everyone,
Yeah, it
you know,
really.
reacts differently.
I'm not saying the stats are wrong either. I'm just surprised. That's all.
Okay,
Surprised.
again, the stats mean nothing. We're just you know, talking about it and laughing about the stats. Because it's even when someone is doing a scientific evaluation, it doesn't mean anything because you have this group of people that they're checking. You know, do they have 2,000 people? Are they checking 10,000 people? Are they checking 1 million people? You know, that also is part of, you know, they're using a sample size and they're assuming that the sample size works. But that's the whole
Exactly.
idea of statistics. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and we'll never know if it's true or not. There's never any way to realize that. So I think we discussed the stats enough.
I agree. It
It was fun. I didn't say it wasn't fun. It was very fun.
was very fun.
Yes. So is
Educational.
yes. So is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into the script?
Nope, I am groovy.
The script has just a few little discrepancies here, not very many. So Harry says, "You don't think I can tell the difference?" And Sally goes, "No." And Harry goes, "Please." Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, he
Instead
doesn't
of
do
in the
that.
movie, he just says, "Get out of here." Which works a little better, but it's just fun to
Okay.
hear what he should have said, you know, according to the script. And then it says, "Sally just stares at Harry. A seductive look comes on her face. Slowly, she laughs into the beginning of what builds to be a wild orgasm." And then it says, she goes, oh, and then Harry says, "Are you all right?" And she goes, oh, God, oh, yes, oh, God, great, yes, I'm coming, oh, yes."
Well, she doesn't
You
say
know,
that.
nope, she does definitely doesn't. But that's you know, the way that they decided to write it in the script and then let Meg Ryan decide to, where she wants to go from there.
I like how she went.
Yes, I think so. I think she did a good job of it. No question
She did a
about that.
wonderful job.
Yes. So every Tuesday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, Courting Dating Edition, where my guests will give some sort of story, adventure, misadventure, anecdote, something that happened to them over the course of their lives that is somewhat related to dating or courting. So Heather, you got a story for us?
Yeah, it was a first date story, and it's an embarrassing one. So I hope you enjoy it.
Come on, Heather, after the conversation we just had for the last 45 minutes.
embarrassing to me. I'm totally comfortable
There you go.
talking about
No,
sex.
so I'm saying it's
And
fine.
now we're going to talk about food, and that makes me uncomfortable. So
Okay.
I'm 18 years old. I've never been on a real date. I mean, I've gone to the movies and stuff, but I haven't been on like an official date with a guy. And I like this guy for a while. He asks me to go out to dinner. He wants to take me to dinner, and I think we went to a movie afterwards. But I don't want to go eat. I don't like eating in front of people. It bothers me. I don't like being around other people when they eat. I've just always been that way. It's weird. I know. I'll cover my mouth when I eat. I'm afraid somebody's going to see me chew. It's strange. I get it. I understand it. So it's my own weird little thing I have to deal with. So I really like him, so I don't want to go out to dinner with him and eat in front of him at all. In my mind, I'm like, I am just going to have a side salad, or I'm just going to get like something really small, and then I'm just going to pick at it, and then I'm not going to eat. And I've had all this anxiety in my head over the food. So I pick a side salad. He's eating a slab of ribs. I have my little side salad. Conversation's going pretty well. We like the same music. He's totally hot, and I'm kind of giddy. And I'm sitting there not being as restrained as I usually am while I'm eating, which I'm very careful about. I'm not as much now that I'm older. This is much higher anxiety stuff when I was younger. This is something I've worked on a lot and trying to let go of. So I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't hiding my mouth. So I stick my fork in a cherry tomato and I put it in my mouth. And I don't know what happens, but I bite into it and the cherry tomato squirts and it hits
Oh,
him right in the
wow.
face. And the rest of the date went well. He thought it was hilarious. I was mortified and I was shamed for the rest of the night. But we ended up dating for like 6 months before I realized he
Okay.
was not
All
for
right.
me.
Well,
But
you get points for
yeah.
continuing to date him after that happening and not being so embarrassed that you wouldn't go out with him again.
He didn't act like a jerk about it either. He was really sweet. He was not necessarily the sweetest guy, but in that scenario, he was very sweet. So I'll give
Okay,
him
that's fair. That's a great story, you know. And thank you for telling it to
that.
us, even though you feel embarrassed about it. And you shouldn't feel embarrassed about
Thank you.
Great. So, Heather, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, you can find me under HB Walsh, my pen name, on Facebook or Instagram. You can find my book, The Prophecy Part One Lost, on Amazon. And you can check out my podcast, Word of Hellmouth. It's a Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewatch show on any of your Spotify's, Google's, whatever
All
you want
right,
to listen to.
great. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. So, Heather, after this long conversation today, you feel like coming back again tomorrow so we can
I
see where
certainly
things
do.
are going or coming, whichever we want to
Yes.
look at it, you know, with ending,
Ending,
finishing. There you go.
happy,
That's true.
concluding.
Many different euphemisms can be used, many different terms. We'll just take out a thesaurus and try and think of what we can say about what Sally is doing tomorrow. So until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'm definitely going to have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.